Yeah, listen up, guys. While we're passing out the hymnals, I'm going to show you guys what your peers have come up with, just in case you're having a creative block.
That looks good.
Yeah, so.
We might have to share
this. Oh, sorry. I don't understand.
Here's one right here.
Thank you. Is there a back?
There's a back, but there's a rough draft. So she have to stand by. So Maddie's side is going to need a partner. You see, this is all about teamwork. Some of these signs can't stand alone, so
we have to.
That's right. We have to buddy up on those. So thank. There's one. Thank you from. All right. Oh, sorry. Now,
special thank you there.
Yeah, so allegedly Cody Patrick Davis. Does anybody else believe that?
No,
we don't believe that. So we have an anonymous sign here. Then we have a lot going on. That's going to have a seizure on this side, I'm sure. Alright? Oh, now look at this. Look at, yeah. Oh, Vincent! Vincent said he just. To find a bank partner here. And oh, another one. And back to the top. All right, so like I said, at the end of class, feel free to come and grab that bad boy and finish it up. But I mean, some of these things are already perfected, so I can't see how you can finish on it. Did everybody already see the last year's camp photo that we took? So,
you know what is missing?
What's missing?
My hairline.
Your hair.
I was bald at camp. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
So funny.
So, what we're going to do, either over here, over there, we're going to find some place to hang up all four years, so that we can start displaying those bad boys around the class. Eventually, we'll have enough to put a border up here. So, come and check that out if you want to. Other than that, go ahead and stand on your feet. Let's start singing. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Let's get our hearts and minds and our attention turned towards Jesus Christ. And let's hope that he gives us something tonight. I'm looking forward to getting something from him. So let's make sure that we go ahead and do that. Jared, open us up in a word of prayer and we'll get rolling. Oh, wow. All right, here we go. For real, Jared. Right. Go.
Ready? Dear Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for everything you do, Lord. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to meet here, Lord, and be with Zach as he gives a message, Lord, to be with Bob as he's out there answering questions, Lord, and be with us as we get ready for camp and we do all the fundraisers that we're having planned and help it to be clear on Saturday so we get what we need to get done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, number 34 in the hymnal, Immortal Invisible. 34.
I didn't even have
like
flipped to it. I was like, wow.
All right, here we go. On the first. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent.
worship thee, great Father of glory, your Father of light. Thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, all help us to see. Tis only the splendor of life.
Verse number one again. Here we go.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. On justice like mountains, high soaring above, by clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, your Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, all help us to see. Tis only the splendor of light high in
thee. Alright, good job. 209, grace greater than our sin. 209. Here we go, on the first.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will harden and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten my soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace,
amen,
points to the refuge, the mighty cross.
It's
grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that I cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow. Grace that will pardon and cleanse.
the far, whatever corner of the room this is, over here on Morgan's side, Lisa, Christopher's side, you should find a paper unless you already passed it out because you guys are fast. And we're going to sing this song, Complete in Thee. Complete in Thee. Complete in Thee. There we go. All right, Complete in Thee. If you don't have one, you can post to somebody that does. We're short on materials today. Alright, verse number one, Complete in Thee. Here we go.
Complete in Thee, the work of mine. May take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath fired but for me, and I am now complete in Thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned God for me, and glorified I too shall be.
All right, let's drop it a little bit. Verse number one again. Here we go.
Complete in Thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of mine. Thy blood hath pardoned God for me, and I am now complete in Thee. Justify, O blessed thought, and sanctify salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned God for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in Thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in Thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned God for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in me is one supply, and no good thing to me deny. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned God for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, and thy right hand
complete in Thee.
Justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned God for me, and glorified I too.
Over the chorus, over time.
Justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned God for me, and glorified I too shall be.
All right, 487. Now I belong to Jesus. All right, 487. Now I belong to Jesus. Here we go.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Amen. I love that verse.
And once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow. and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Now joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Hold that chorus one more time.
Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
All right, let's do one more. We'll call it.
What time is that?
Oh, I didn't see it. I haven't figured it out. Here, let's do. Alright, either 127 or 334. 334 is Be Thou My Vision. 127 is, it should be, Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision.
Alright, here we go. 334, Be Thou My Vision. Here we go. Close on that one. Let's turn our eyes, our attention towards Jesus Christ. Here we go. 334.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best star, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light.
Alright, verse number 2.
Be Thou my wisdom and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, hide Thy true song. Thou in me dwelling and I with Thee. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and Thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright and sun. Heart of my own, must ever be
AJ, pray for us, and then we'll get rolling.
Dear Lord, I just pray that you give Zach the words to say tonight, Lord, and help us all take something from it and get a blessing out of it, Lord. Help us to go on throughout the rest of our week, Lord, and just when we meet up on Saturday again, Lord, and just to have a good time at the car wash, Lord, and just to raise a lot of money for camp and to do it with the right heart attitude also, Lord. And I just pray that we all get a blessing out of it tonight and just prepare our hearts and also prepare Zach's, Lord. And I pray this all in your son's precious name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, tonight's going to be a little different. I feel like I've said that like the last three times we've been together. Tonight's going to be a little different. But it is. I wanted to move on just to teaching like something else and just doing like one single message. But Kiki, after Bible study last week, came up to me and wanted to know about, Kiki, where are you? What are you doing? Yeah, where are they? I know. So we'll have to roast her next time we see her. But she came up to me after Bible study and asked about the difference between spirits and ghosts. And just talking about some stuff that she had been, getting into or seeing on television. And it kind of piqued her interest. And she wanted to see what the Bible has to say about spirits and ghosts. And so instead of just doing like a really quick rush job on it, right there, I told her I would do a quick rush job on Thursday night at the next youth group. So anyway, Kiki, this is for you. So we'll get this to you when we can. But anyway, that's the first thing I want to talk about. Just make sure everybody's up to speed on what spirits and ghosts are, what the Bible has to say about them, just in case you guys feel like you might have seen like shadows or something like that at home, or spirits, all that junk like that. We can talk about what the Bible has to say about it. But then the next thing I want to do is I kind of want to recap what took place at Youth Night on Thursday. I want to talk about AJ's devotion and talk about Jared's. And just some takeaways that I have from that. What's that, babe? What did I say?
Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. Good. You got. Hey, I thought you guys weren't listening. I figured I was just up here talking. What's up? Matt, on your head?
Yeah, neck yourself.
Neck myself. What does that mean?
Neck yourself.
Neck yourself.
Oh, okay. So anyway, we're going to talk about that and see what's going on there. So the first thing, let's get some input. What do you guys think about spirits and ghosts? Do you think ghosts are real?
No.
Do you think?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I hear no, I hear yes, I hear Jenny shaking, she's nodding her head yes, she believes in it. See, Jenny and I have some experience with this.
Mm.
Oh, you do too? So, we used to watch this show together called Paranormal Witness. Has anybody heard of that show? This is not the movie, this is not Paranormal Activity. Okay? Paranormal Witness was documented, oftentimes photographs, eyewitness accounts, or actual videography. Somebody actually had video footage of these events happening. And what they did is they put it on television and pretty much did like a documentary on the stuff. And so they had like a series running for a while. I don't think that series is on television anymore. I think you probably get it like on Netflix or something like that. But what's that? It is? Oh, you know that?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. I think my friend and I were watching it.
There you go. So Aaron's got experience with this too. So anyway, I've always kind of wondered about that stuff. How many of you kids like watching scary movies? Raise your hands. Ooh. So you're a lot braver than me. Oh, man. See?
I'll go to the movie.
What's that?
Did you hate scary movies?
I just never watched them. So I never got into them. Just one, because like our parents never let us watch them coming up. And after that, like I guess maybe like if you just get like... Maybe like I should like take Brady and Brandon and have them start watching like stuff like that now so that they can get like get like really hard into it. But anyway, because it did. I almost feel like I'm like such a punk now. Like I can barely watch Scooby-Doo without getting chills and stuff like that. So anyway, we never got to watch that stuff coming up. So it did. It kind of piqued my interest in it the older I got. And the more I got into the Bible, I started hearing about what, the Bible had to say about those things. But anyway, this show, Paranormal Witness, would oftentimes, like I said, have like documented evidence of like paranormal things happening in their house. I'm sure you guys have seen like that movie, Paranormal Activity, like where all the pots and pans in the kitchen are up on the ceiling at one time and they all drop to the floor, or they walk into the living room and something's stacked up really high, like some type of memorial or something like that. So these people actually had video footage of stuff like this happening in their house, and it ended up piquing my interest, and I was like, you know what? That's something I kind of want to check out and get into and see what's going on there. So my goal tonight is to kind of talk to you guys about the world, the way the world talks about spirits and ghosts, and see what the truth is behind it while going through the Bible and stuff like that. So, you've seen that stuff popularized in movies like Casper. A lot of you guys are into those what is that? The Conjuring is like the big one that's out right now. You guys have seen that, I'm guessing. So
that came out in like 2000.
Well, I think they had another one that just came out here recently. So anyway, like you see that stuff, and it makes a lot of money because people, for whatever reason, love to be scared. They pay tons of money to live in secure, safe neighborhoods, but then they love to, they get their entertainment from being scared, which is kind of hypocritical. Oh yeah, you gotta watch that stuff. So it's really funny, but that's like one of the biggest industries in the movies. It's just horror movies and horror films and stuff like that. People love that fear. So anyway, what you oftentimes hear it called, you hear ghosts called, you know, fallen angels or demons or devils or nightmares or even monsters. And when they talk about the good side of the thing, they often call them angels, guardian angels, watchers, or sons of God. So my first question to you all is, what is a ghost? Do you all have any idea what a ghost is?
It's like a kind of like a. Oh, I'm sorry. I've watched
a blanket.
Like,
a blanket with eyes cut out.
It's kind of like a sheet that you put on yourself. But no,
all right. Is a ghost physical, spiritual? Is it transparent? Is it solid?
Spiritual.
So you say spiritual. All right. So when we think about ghosts, you know, we think about things like you know, Casper. We think about something that we can see through. And I know you guys said a blanket or something like that, because that technically is the only way you can visibly see their form. So people oftentimes ask about, you know, what the heck is that thing? Well, according to the Bible, a ghost technically is a joke, okay? Oftentimes when people bring up ghosts, and they bring up like those shows like where they're trying to talk to ghosts, they think they're communicating with people that used to live. You guys understand that? They think they're like talking to Aunt Edna or to some girl that lived back in the Civil War days that was going downstairs for a midnight snack and forgot to turn out the candle, and then the whole house burned down, so therefore the house trapped her spirit inside, and now she's roaming the halls with a rattle or something like that. You know, that's pretty much how it works out. So that's all bunk, okay? According to the Bible, ghosts are jokes, all right? Now, that doesn't mean that the stuff those people are seeing is not real. It doesn't mean that there's not an actual entity that's in the house. It doesn't mean that there's not an actual spirit that's there. And that's kind of like what I want to talk about tonight, how the Bible defines spirits and how it defines those things. So when you find like ghosts in the Bible, you find it in a couple of ways. You talk about somebody has the Holy Ghost. You know, we talk about that. And whenever you see it talked about as the Holy Ghost, it usually has something to do with the Holy Spirit of God indwelling inside of you. All right? But then it will talk about someone gave up the ghost. All right? Someone gave up the ghost. Now, when you look at what ghost means in the Bible and what someone giving up that ghost is, you got to look at when someone actually dies to understand what that is right there. And I do ask for forgiveness here. What I normally do before youth group so I can keep everything fresh in my mind is about I get off like around 2:30 at work, and then I'll go home, spend that 4 hours pretty much highlighting stuff and outlining it and everything like that. Well, today, as you guys can see, when's the last time you guys saw me in the orange shirt? You remember?
Almost every time.
Every time? No, Aaron pays attention to my wardrobe. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. I've been trying to take a shower and come clean and stuff like that. But anyway, I actually worked right up to like 7 o'clock tonight out on the floor. Didn't get to do my normal job because people were calling out and stuff like that. So anyway, didn't get to do the prep that I wanted to, but maybe my counselor friends in the back can help me. Where is Rebecca sold apart? Is that Genesis 20?
35.
35. Thank you, wife. Man. All right, Genesis 35. All right. Jenny, do you have that? What, 35 what?
18.
35:18.
Oh, here. You use the Bible, it actually works.
All right, Genesis 35:18. Go ahead and read that real quick, please.
Well, and it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin.
All right. So, and it came to pass, as her soul was in departing. Let's see what else we got here. 30:24.
You're talking about 29 before Isaac dies?
There, thank you very much, AJ. All right, now, watch this. It talked about
Bless you. Woo. Bless you very much. All right. Verse 18 says, "And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin." Now watch down here. Pick it up in verse 27. "And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died." So you guys see how the Bible used ghost there? It likens it to a human being's soul. All right. How many parts are you guys made up? You guys remember?
Three.
And what are those parts?
Your skin.
Your flesh.
Your flesh,
soul, and spirit.
Flesh,
yeah, body. All right. So flesh or body.
Flesh.
All right. All right. What's the second one?
Soul.
That's what we just heard about, called the ghost. That's why when the Holy Spirit's inside of you, it's called the ghost. All right. And then
spirit.
Very, very good. All right. So in the Bible, a person's soul is called a spirit. This is why, and this is who you are right now if you're saved. The Bible says the moment that you get saved, at the first time, all these guys were stuck together, all right? They're all one. But what God did the day that you got saved, the Bible says he separated your soul from your spirit. Now God sees you as this thing right here, your soul. Your spirit, your flesh is just maggot food that's kind of walking around right now, all right? So anyway, the Bible says when your soul leaves your body, that's when you truly die, all right? Because that's all that God's focusing on. So when that soul leaves the body, the ghost goes. Now this is why in popular culture, and in television, when they talk about seeing a relative or something like that, they call it a ghost. And then not knowing that it goes back to the Bible, the ghost is the soul. It's who the person truly is. The person is not truly their physical body, all right? It's their soul. That's who they are. So that's why when we talk about seeing somebody or conjuring someone up that we used to know, it's a ghost, all right? Now, that's according to the Bible. Now, let's talk about what a spirit is according to the Bible. We know what the flesh is. Everyone can see that. Everyone can smell it. But what is the spirit according to the Bible? Now, turn back here to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. All right, Genesis chapter 2. Pick it up in verse 4. All right, here we go. "These are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground." Now watch this. When God makes man, notice this. Man already has a body, and he already has a soul. But watch what gives man life. Here we go. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." So that's the outward appearance there. That's the flesh. "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." You guys understand that now? The breath of life is what made man into a living soul. Now, hold your hand here and come over to Job chapter 33. All right, Job 33. Now watch this. Pick it up in verse 1. "Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. Watch, the Spirit of God hath made me. The breath of the Almighty hath given me life." You guys see that? God's spirit is likened to God's breath. It says God's spirit made him. And then right down here, it says God's breath is what gave him life. One last spot. With your third hand, go to John chapter 6, verse 63. John, big John. John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6:63. Yeah.
63?
63. Okay. Yes, yes. All right, so John 6:63. Now watch this. Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, and since the Pharisees are standing by, he starts to speak in kind of a parable and a riddle to them. And he tells them, listen, you guys can't have any part of me except you eat my body and drink my blood. And so the Pharisees hear that, and they say, what the heck? Is this guy trying to teach cannibalism to these people? And so Jesus Christ has to clear it up for them down here. And look what he says down here in John chapter 6, verse 63. Watch this. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Watch the definition of spirit. They are life. You guys see that? Genesis 2:7. When did man become alive? When God breathed into him. Job chapter 33, verse 4. What was that breath? It's a spirit. John chapter 6, verse 63. What quickens somebody? What brings them to life? The spirit. You guys see how that works? We just define what the spirit is in God's mind. All right. You've got your body, the thing I'm looking at right now. You've got your soul, the outline of a body. How many of you guys have ever held a football before? All right. So you got the outside pigskin. Then you got the inside shape, like the inner tube thing. Now, is that a football just with that? I guess maybe it is, but it won't work. You can't play with it unless you're Tom Brady, right? And it's deflated.
Oh,
burn. All right. So anyway, what has to happen in order for you to play ball with it?
Air.
You got to breathe into it. Spirit. You guys understand how that works now? Those are your three parts. That's how God breaks it down. That's how God looks at it. So, what the heck are spirits, Zach? What is going on with this picture here? What are spirits? All right. Now, when it comes to the Bible, you actually have four different types of spirits. And you guys ought to know this by now, so help me out. What are the four types of spirits out there? Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm pretty much asking what has life down here almost. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and pick it up in verse 18. Watch this. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Now watch. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Pretty much, he's saying right here that the same stuff that happens to animal, just random time and chance, happens to man too. All right. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Now, it's going to keep defining it. Now, we're actually going to see that there are two different spirits from a man and an animal. Watch, verse 20. All go into one place. Yeah, when you die, you go in the ground. When your dog dies, it goes in the ground. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Your dog becomes fertilizer, you become maggot food, then fertilizer. Verse 21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Okay? So what God just shows us right there is that animals have their own spirit. Alright? Animals have their own spirit. Your dog has life. Your cat's a demon, so it doesn't have life. Alright? So, animals have a spirit. Man has a spirit. Now, your spirit is also tied into your own free will. It's your desire. It's your passion, okay? It's how you choose which way you're going to go, all right? That's what your spirit represents. But not only do animals have a spirit, not only does man have a spirit, but then there's also these things called seducing spirits, unclean spirits, evil spirits. So the devil also has one.
Now, these are the ones that are oftentimes talked about the most. This is what people make money off of, usually. All right? In the Bible, these are called devils. In the world, we call them demons. All right? They got like this because they used to be angels, but now they're fallen. All right? And over here in 2 Peter, look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Now watch this. 2 Peter chapter 2. Pick it up down here in verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not Noah, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into the ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Blah, blah, blah. Keep coming down here. Down, 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 down. Look at verse 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, shall utterly perish in their own corruption. All right? Now that right there was given a long layout of pretty much the results that got started. It was like a long downhill mudslide that got started by one group. And we talked about that group back there in verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. You guys know what took place back at the beginning. Anybody that's come through the history of the Bible, you know that before God created man, he had angels that lived on this earth. All right. And when those angels got behind Lucifer and chose to rebel against God, God smacked them down and knocked them down out of heaven. And then because of that, God said, I'm going to make man to fill that void of where my angels used to be. But the whole thing started there with angels. So when we talk about fallen angels, that's what we're talking about, and that's how they fell. Those things now are called demons in our popular culture. Those are devils that go about pretty much seeking whom they may devour. It's kind of funny. I almost died. I had a run-in with one last night. If anybody has ever seen those movies when they bring up these things, I don't know if you've noticed this, but they always have that activity happening around like 3 a.m. in the morning. All right, around 3 a.m. in the morning. And right before bed, I was actually reading up on some of this stuff, just trying to sharpen up, you know, my skills on that stuff. And I was reading about, you know, kind of possession and stuff like that and some of the stuff that happens with people. And, you know, one of the things that was happening was this kid's bed just kept banging and kept jumping up and down and all this stuff like that over the floor. And his parents couldn't figure out what was going on. And so I've heard like several accounts like that. So anyway, I shouldn't have done this, but I did all that stuff right before going to bed. Okay. I got all that stuff, you know, piled into my mind. So anyway, I go to sleep, I'm sleeping good. And then I kid you not, all of a sudden at 3 a.m., like my bed just starts shaking like this, like very subtly. And I was like, okay, this is a bad dream. So I'm just going to start thinking about something else because I'm the type of person I can almost choose what I want to dream about. Like I really can. And so I start trying to change the dream, but then like I start coming awake because the shaking start happening so much. I'm like, what in the world is going on? So now I'm kind of starting to freak out. And I start shaking some more, and then all of a sudden I hear laughter. I don't know about demons laughing and, you know, all the snickering and stuff like that. So now I'm getting ready to stab something and just jump and scream. And next thing I know, it's Jenny. She's over there at 3 a.m. in the morning, shaking in the bed and laughing. So I'm not sure if she was possessed or what was going on. But I asked her, I was like, what the heck is going on? And she's, would you say you were laughing about something that happened in a dream? Yeah. So you took time at 3 a.m. to wake up and give it its due laugh?
It was funny. I was doing something hilarious in my dream, making people laugh.
So anyway, thank God I did not actually run into that same situation. But what's that?
Or Stabber.
Or Stabber, exactly. Thank God that she's still alive tonight. All right, so anyway, that's how that thing worked out for me. And it almost taught me a lesson. I mean, see, that's why I can't mess around with that stuff. It seems like every time I start digging into it, like something creepy like that happens. So some people are just like immune to it. I fear that if I learn too much about it, I'm going to get tested with it. So I oftentimes stay away from it. But anyway, those are the devils. Those are the things that show up there. And like I said, this is going to be so quick because I got to move on to the recap of the boys' devotions that I want to talk about. But lastly, obviously, you got God's Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's what came into you the day that you got saved. And speaking of that, when you get filled with the devil spirit, they call that being possessed. Okay, that's the stuff I thought happened to Jenny last night. I thought she was possessed. Like an evil spirit had came in there, took it over her will and started doing its own will and was trying to freak me out for the stuff I was messing around with before I went to bed. Now, when you get filled with God's Spirit, it's almost the same thing. And what it is, just like an unclean spirit would take over you, and like in The Exorcist, you see him hovering and doing all that stuff like that. That's what being filled with God's Spirit is. Get this down. Number one, to be filled with God's Spirit does not mean you get more of God's Spirit. Okay? The day that you get saved, God gives you all of Him. Okay? Now, what does being filled with God's Spirit mean? The day that you got saved, imagine this. God put a genius inside of you. He put someone inside of you that knows exactly why you were born and what your purpose is and why you were created. All right? And this guy will give you fulfillment beyond belief. That's who God put inside you the day you got saved. Imagine owning a company, okay? And your company is just falling apart. And you're getting ready to be bankrupt. You're going to be living out on the street or at the City Union Mission. And then all of a sudden, you hire a guy that's a genius who has never had a company that's ever been bankrupt. But instead of turning the company over to him to allow him to bring it back to life, you tell him, you say, now sit down, let me show you how to do it instead. That's almost exactly what we do with the Holy Spirit of God once we get saved. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is simply you turning over the control of your life to him. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Okay? It's you giving over control of your life to God. And that's what being filled with the Spirit is all about. You're not an animal. You don't have this spirit. God gave you your own free will. With your free will, with your spirit, you can choose to line yourself up to God's Spirit or to one of these spirits. But you will choose because both of these are stronger than yours. You say, well, Zach, I don't hear about that many people that are like demon-possessed and walking around foaming out the mouth and stuff like that. So, I mean, what are you saying? Like they're led around by the devil's spirit? Well, yeah, the devil can do things subtly. And I tell you what, something a lot worse than being demon-possessed, that might scare you into getting saved if you got taken over like that. But walking around life without getting saved and having everything just like you need it and being comfortable and then dying and going to hell for eternity, that's pretty jacked up, don't you think? I'd rather get hell, hell scared than hell scorched. Get scared about it before winding up and being there. All right? So that's pretty much what God put you down here for. He gave man a will, and your 60, 70, 80 years on earth is going to be about this, choosing who you line up your spirit with. One for eternity, but then also to accomplish the plan that God gave you while you're down here. Now, like I said, I probably should have just stuck with the second thing I want to talk about, because this is really what I want to get after today. Turn back to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to look at chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Excuse me, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. The same stuff AJ went over real quick. All right, so you guys heard the thing that AJ, if you were here on Sunday, you heard what AJ talked about. Basically, what he just laid out was Israel having a really great victory against the city of Jericho. You guys remember about that story? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And Israel walked around that city for 7 times, and all the walls fell down, and there was a great victory in that land. At the end of Joshua chapter 6, you hear what the Bible has to say about just the spirit that's amongst the Jews at that time and how excited everyone is. The Bible says over there in Joshua chapter 6, look at the end, verse 27, I think. Yeah. The Bible says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. But then right after that, he pointed out that big but that showed up in verse chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and a cursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took up the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. The first thing I got when I was listening to him that I wanted to recap with you guys tonight is it's amazing, one, how quickly the nation of Israel went from victory to defeat. And look at verse 6 of chapter 7. Chapter 6, verse 27 said, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Chapter 7, verse 6 says, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God, pretty much meaning, I wish you would have, Lord, would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. He's pretty much saying, what was the point of bringing us to the promised land if you're just going to have us get our butts wiped? Get our butts kicked. What's going on here, God? You're supposed to be all-powerful and great and omniscient. What just happened right now? Why didn't you just allow us to enjoy our tent dwelling out there on the other side of Jordan? So the thing that God showed me is right here. Don't ever think after a defeat that what you had in the world is better than what you now have with God. You guys understand that? The day that you get saved, that does not mean that's the end of any of your struggles and no more stripes and stuff like that. And the nation of Israel, they crossed that Jordan and they got into the promised land. I guess that they're thinking that they're just going to have like an undefeated record or something like that and just go on being winners. You know, like Trump says, we're going to win until we can't get enough of it. You know, that didn't quite work out. But Israel had the same vision. They thought, shoot, we're over Jordan. This is exactly what we've been waiting for 40 years. We're out there in the wilderness walking around begging God to get us here. We're here now. And look, our first victory. We have no casualties. We barely even have to touch anything. And God drops the walls. This is going to be a cakewalk. Next thing you know, Joshua says, all right, you know what? Let's just go ahead and wipe out everybody that's here. Why don't you go take about, you know, one third of what we got and go over there and wax the other city AI. And what happened when they got over there? They got their butts handed to them. They got their butts kicked. So the first thing that God showed me was that, listen, just because you come up against a defeat in your life, Zach, don't backslide and think that what you once had in the world was better than what you have with God. Now, why is that? Number one, it's not a defeat if you've got God. It's only a delay. Christians can't really have defeats, guys. You can only have a delay. Now, why is that? The Bible says that we are more than conquerors with Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about that God's given us the victory. You guys know that song, Victory in Jesus? Yeah, we sing that because it's true. God actually gave us the victory. You say, well, Zach, what if a Christian ends up getting saved, but then they get into drugs, then they end up dying, you know, from an overdose? That was a defeat, right? Nope, because once they're dead, they're in a glorified body. They're not dealing with that sin anymore. It's a delay. You can have your delay until death, or you can have your delay until you get yourself right with God and pick yourself up. How many of you kids have ever sinned after you're saved? I'm just curious about that. Raise your hand if that's happened to you before. All right, some of you are really good. All right. Yeah, me too. Brother youth pastor up here, he sins. So you say, well, that's a defeat, right? You're supposed to be more than conquerors with God. You know, no more defeats. It's all about victory. The victory that we're going to have will absolutely come to all of us at the time of death. AJ, when did you graduate? When was your last day of school, actually?
Like 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday.
2 weeks ago on a Wednesday. Did they hand you your diploma then?
No.
Were you graduated yet?
No.
Now, is there anything else you could do to graduate?
I had to show up.
Yeah, you didn't have to show up. Now, let me ask you this. If you did not show up to graduation, they did not hand you the diploma, what would have happened?
I actually don't know either.
They would just give it later.
All right, AJ's too smart. I can't even ask him a question to set something up, man. All right, so
the fact of the matter is AJ did everything he possibly could have 2 weeks ago Wednesday to get his diploma. All he was waiting for was to have it in his hand. I can't show you guys the victory that Jesus Christ is giving you right now because we're still on this earth. We're still waiting for the graduation. Your promotion happens at death, okay? That's when we know that we're conquerors over death, over all of our sin. The reason we have to die is because of our sin. But the Bible says, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. And that's for a Christian. That's the awesome thing about being saved. No matter what obstacle you come up against in life, it's truly not a defeat. It's only a delay, and it's up to you to decide, is that going to be a delay until you die and then you get the victory? Or is it a delay until you do 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, and ask Jesus Christ, who is faithful and just to forgive your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and then guess what? A just man falleth, but he rises up again 7 times. You're back to where God needs you to be. So you guys understand how that thing works? A defeat in the Christian's life is not a defeat. It's only a delay. It's only a postponed thing. The next thing I noticed, you guys remember why Israel got defeated at Ai? You remember who caused that defeat? It was a guy named Achan. Old sneaky Achan. A name like Achan just sounds sinister. I mean, you couldn't do anything good in your life, even if you wanted to. Achan, what did he do? Israel went into that battle. They beat Jericho, and God said, listen, this thing is going to be like a tithe to me. And once you head into this land, I don't want you guys to take of the spoil. I want you to give it to me and only take the stuff that you can put in the temple and offer as a sacrifice. Now listen, anything else, leave alone. Do not touch it. Achan said, well, all right, I'm listening to God. He said amen to that. But then he went out, and when nobody was watching, he snuck some stuff into his own tent. And because of that, God's favor, God's strength was no longer with Israel. So when they went over to Ai to fight the next group, God made them get their butts kicked by them. Now the funny thing I saw about Achan's life was this. The chapter right after that, and this is something that AJ pointed out, that was really good that you did, they got to partake of the spoil. They got to beat Ai once they took care of the Achan sin issue. They defeated their enemy, but then God also let them get in on the spoil. I think sometimes when we see that God tells us not to do certain things in the Bible, we think he's just doing that because he doesn't want us to have any fun. It's like we think that, well, why would God say, you know, watch what we look at, don't listen to these certain things and stuff like that. Why would he be so strict on certain things like that? It's for a purpose and it's for a reason. There's danger out there. There's spirits out there that are trying to seduce you towards a certain way that God wants to protect you from and keep you safe from. All right? So God gives those standards, but look at this. When God tells you not to do something, folks, he's always got something better planned for you. And if Achan, I wonder if Achan knew that in chapter 7, he was getting ready to get a blessing. But he wanted it now. You know what's going to jack you up in your life? God's pretty much done the same thing to you. There's tons of glittering things out there in the world. There's popularity. There's fame, there's riches, there's all these great things. But God said, you know what? I got a plan for you right now. I got something I'm trying to accomplish with your life. I got people I need you to reach out to, and I need you to live your life according to the way that I ask you to live it and give up some of those things that maybe your heart desires. Now, let me ask you, if God asked you to do that for 60 years but promises 100 billion times more of what you desire down here, out in eternity, forever. I know that sounds tough, but man, isn't that kind of a reasonable thing? Right now, we're living in chapter 6. God has told us, you know what? Abstain from some things. Hold yourself back from some things. Because I need you to have a testimony down here. I need to minister to people through the life that I get to live through you. So follow my principles, even when it doesn't feel right. Follow my principles, even when it causes your flesh, you know, it seems like it hurts it, because I got something better for you. You guys remember that? For I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. For our light affliction, which endureth but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory. Anything you get down here is going to get torn up or stolen. or is going to fade out until the next new thing comes? Who has the iPhone 7 in here? You know how long that's going to be new? Until the 8 comes out. Everything down here is temporary. And God is saying, listen, Achan, I know you're in chapter 6 right now. I know you see this great defeat, and it seems like everything is just so glittery in life, but trust me, chapter 7 is coming up, and it's so much better. That's exactly what God is doing to us as Christians right now. He's telling us to wait for chapter 7 to come in our lives. Chapter 7, the number of perfection. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse 29 through 30, one of my favorite verses, one of the things that I encourage myself with, says this. Jesus talking to his disciples. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house. Some people had to leave their houses for Jesus Christ. Or parents. Some of you in here right now are saved, and your parents aren't, and they can't stand it. There's no man that hath left house, parents, brethren. Some of you got saved, and your own brothers and sisters hate you now. They can't stand your guts. Or wife. That's nobody in here, I don't think. Or children, once again. For look, why? Left it to go on tour to become someone famous? No. Look what your reason for leaving those things is. For the kingdom of God's sake. Who shall not receive manyfold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. You guys know who said that? That was Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ ever sin? Did Jesus Christ ever lie? Some of you are acting like, well, I don't know. Maybe you did right there. He just promised that to you. Did you hear what I just said? Anyone that's left house, parents, brethren, wife, children, for the kingdom of God's sake, shall receive manyfold more now and in the world to come. Well, you say, well, what about that thing now? This is how you're going to receive manifold more now. You say, what, I'm going to be rich now? No, not necessarily. You're going to fulfill the purpose that God brought you into existence for. And there's nothing more fulfilling in life than that. You guys ever wonder why people can become celebrities and so famous and have so much popularity but still feel empty inside? That's why. They chase that stuff that the world said was popular, the stuff that the world said we need, but they never accomplished the plan that God brought them into existence for. I'm here to tell you today, there's nothing in this world more fulfilling and satisfying than that. What would you guys think if at the car wash you saw me stroll up with my lawnmower in the first car that we had, I fired that bad boy up and put it on the top of that hood and just start riding that bad boy? Like, Zach, maybe you are on drugs. No, think about it. What if I use that lawnmower on the car? Because I'm like, you know what? Instead of washing those mirrors, if we chop them off, they're not there anymore. And then you kind of save yourself some time. You know, instead of washing those tires, let's just pop them and get rid of those bad boys, right? So check this out. Using a lawnmower to wash a car is not using it for its purpose, right? Wouldn't it be so much more fulfilling to pick that lawnmower on some tall grass and just chop it down over some little fingers or something like? No. Okay, over some tall grass. Yeah. Guys, that's the same way God looks at us oftentimes. He's like, can you see what that knucklehead's doing? Yeah, God, he's bench pressing like 400. That's not even what I created him for. But Lord, look, I mean, he's got, you know, recruits coming. He's got this coming. I mean, he's got that. He's got, you know, promise of a great future. He's going to be miserable. That's not why I even created him. That's exactly how that thing happens. We take our life into our hands, not knowing the one that created us, or maybe we know him, but we're not listening to what he's telling us to do. You know, there's a story of a man, he was walking down a country road, and when he was walking, he picked up some pebbles, you know, just a couple, just because he wanted to remember what that country road was like. He was from the city. And he goes home one night and he lays down with those pebbles and he puts them just next to his desk on his little bedstand. He closes his eyes and he goes to sleep. Well, lo and behold, the next morning he wakes up and those pebbles that he had, you know what happened? They had turned to diamonds. Now, that man was very happy and thankful that he had diamonds now, but you know what he wished? You know what was irking him so much? He wished he had picked up more pebbles. That's what's going to happen now. A lot of you kids are really good kids, and you're consistent. You show up to church on Thursday nights. You show up on Sunday mornings. And those are like pebbles that you're picking up. It's the stuff that looks like trash, looks like crap to the world. It looks like you're wasting your time. Those are pebbles you're picking up. But you know what's going to happen? One glorious resurrection morning, you're going to wake up, and those pebbles are going to be diamonds. You know what you're going to wish? I wish I would have picked up more pebbles. Mark chapter 14, there's a woman over there, and I love this story. Turn there real quick. This is where we're going to finish up. I'm going to start reading it. You guys can turn there and just write it down. Mark 14, verse 3. Listen to this. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily, that means truly, watch what Jesus Christ says, another promise. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. For a memorial of her. You know why I like this story? In some other spots in the Gospels, you find, and when you research what that lady did, that alabaster box is probably more than her yearly salary, okay? She took all of her salary right there, broke that thing on Jesus' feet, and everybody in the room knew how expensive that thing was, and they said, what in the world is she doing? She completely wasted the greatest possession that she had in her life. You know what the world is saying to you guys right now? In here on a Thursday night when you could be somewhere else with a sports team, working on your education or doing something else, they're saying the same thing. What in the world is that kid doing? They're not on drugs. They're not like the fools that we oftentimes see running down the halls. They're respectful. They're good looking. They're nice. That is a model kid. Why are you wasting your time at church? You've taken your alabaster box, your life, and you brought it here, and you placed it at Jesus' feet. And you're cracking that thing. You're saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life, but I know that you gave it to me, and so therefore I'm going to give it back to you. Now watch this. The thing that just blew my mind was this right here. Look at the end of verse 9. This also she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Not a memorial of God. Not a memorial of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I want you guys to set up a memorial of this woman. I want you to remember this woman right here. You know, I got to looking at that thing. And in that room where that thing happened, I'm sure that house doesn't exist anymore. But you know what's going to happen? I bet in the millennium when Jesus Christ comes back, there will be something right there that's erected for that lady. And after that great battle of Armageddon, after the Antichrist gets waxed and he gets knocked out, after the second coming takes place and Jesus Christ takes the curse off the earth and he restores everything and we're all walking around, you know what's going to happen? You're going to walk by that house and one day you know what you're going to see? You're going to see something greater than the Washington Monument there. You know, and I got to thinking about that. I started thinking, I was like, you know what? That's funny. That's the only, when did God ever tell somebody that he wanted a memorial of a human being? And I couldn't remember. And then I started thinking, I said, you know what? I wonder if God will have any memorials of me in my life and the things I did with him. And I start picturing that thing just walking down the streets in the millennium. I could see like a dad with his kid or a mom with her kid or something like that. And they're walking down this place out here that used to be 40 Highway, but now it's just, you know, just a dirt road or something like that because of all the damage that happened during Armageddon and everything like that. And all of a sudden they get past there. Maybe there's something like a hologram coming out of the ground. And the kid points over there and says, Mommy, what is that? And the mommy says, I mean, honey, you don't know what that is? No, I don't. We haven't learned about that in school yet. Well, that's where the Bible believers held out. That's where they made their stand. Yeah, long, long, long time ago, back in 2017, most of the world was going against God, but right here in Independence, Missouri, that's what it was called back then. Yeah, Independence, Missouri. This is where they held out. This is where they made their stand. And that kid would say, what, you mean people believed in Jesus when they couldn't see him? Yeah. Yeah, I know he's over in Jerusalem now. We can just walk over there and see him and look at him. But, yeah, there's a long time ago, back in 2017, and actually 2,000 years before that, there's a whole church age where people never got to see Jesus Christ, but they still trusted in him, and they walked by faith, and they actually lived as if he was in their lives from day to day. Wow, that's crazy, Mom. Yeah, I know. And then I wonder if they would keep on walking. They might get in the car, and maybe they'd come down the block, and they'd see a house. Maybe they'd see a house where Marge used to live or something like that. And right there, there'd be a monument, a memorial. And the kid would say, Mommy, what is that? You mean you don't know about that? That right there is a household that the devil had on lock. And he said, I guarantee you, not one person is going to get saved out of this house. Everybody in this household is going to die and go to hell. But Mommy, what happened? One little girl trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, and it affected her family. Made a lie out of the devil. Wow. Wow. And I wonder, what if God comes down my street? And there's my house. And then all of a sudden, they pull up. You know what they find? I don't either, because maybe there wouldn't be nothing there. I wonder if you would have a memorial on your block, on your street, of the stand you took for God, of the life you committed to God. That's really interesting, man. I love seeing that there. This shows me that what we do for Jesus Christ will not go unnoticed. You guys think of the millennium when that thing happens, when Jesus Christ comes back, you think the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument are still going to be up and we're going to all pay homage to them? Don't kid yourself. Any monument that they make to immortalize you now, it's not going to make it through the tribulation. It might not even make it through a bad storm if it comes its way. There's all kinds of monuments and stuff like that they put up for us to remember things the ancients did, and we don't even have any idea where it is right now. Your dog probably uses the restroom over that spot right now or something like that. But the things that you do for Jesus Christ, he makes a monument out of that. He makes a memorial out of that that will last. So, AJ, Jarrett, thank you guys for sharing those devotions. Really good. I got to really go back and look at some of those things that you were talking about, and that was just so huge. I really enjoyed that thing about not trying to get the reward in chapter 6, but waiting to chapter 7. That's where we're at right now, guys. Whenever you start doing what the Bible tells you to do, and it seems like, man, you know what? God, this is starting to get rough. The Bible says, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Stay with it. Stick with it. We're living in chapter 6 right now. If only you kids could see chapter 7. All right. Yeah, bless you. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time we got to spend together tonight, Lord. Gosh, in spite of the circumstances, God, not at all how I would have liked it to go and liked it to prepare for it and everything like that, God, but I trust that your ways are omnipotent, Lord, and you know what you're trying to accomplish and what you're doing, and I'll always rest in that over my own manipulation and my own satisfaction and stuff like that, Lord. So I pray and ask that something I said tonight you would take and speak to these kids when they get out of here, Lord. Leave every one of them in here as a personal relationship with you. And God, you did more for them than I ever could, Father. You already died for them. You already shed your blood for them. You already went to hell and back for them so that they wouldn't have to go there. And so, God, because of that, I'm just turning them over to you, Lord, and trusting that whatever it is you wanted them to hear, whatever it is you want to develop in them after this night, God, you would do that. I just love you and pray and ask that you would look after us as we get out and do the rest of our things. And help us to remember, Father, when times get tough, when it seems like the Bible's too strict, when it seems like things are too stern and too straight, God, help us to remember that you're doing that because you love us and you're trying to protect us and keep us safe. But also, Lord, we're only living in chapter 6 right now. we've still got chapter 7 to look forward to, Father, and that's when it really happens. So just help us to be content and pleased with what you've given us. I love you and thank you and pray and ask all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Zach.
Hey.
So whenever I was in the car,
we have one more. Oh, sorry. Listen to Angela. She's got an announcement.